Good evening. Thank you, Anthony. I'm Trina. I'm an alcoholic. I'd like to start by thanking my mom and my stepdad for being here this evening. Spent some time in prayer in the bathroom just about 5 minutes ago. My disease is co-fertilized. Began when I was born. My mom and I suffered a traumatic birth, bringing me into this world, and suffered a permanent brain injury on the left frontal cortex of my brain from it, and seizures upon my birth. And to combat those seizures, the doctors put me on phenobarbital for 30 days. So I came home a newborn and an addict. My poor family, of course, had no idea the consequences of that. None of us did. And I always, you know, throughout my childhood, I felt different. I needed a lot of attention. I was very dramatic. I had a real hard time fitting in. In high school, I started drinking and smoking marijuana, and I found that I felt normal. I was able to enjoy my life and feel like I was accepted and that I was free from the squirrels in my brain. And in my 20s, I was introduced to methamphetamine and spent about 4 years in that drug along with alcohol. And it wasn't until I was in my late 20s that I decided I did not want that in my life anymore, and I quit cold turkey. I became pregnant, and I got married, and all for the wrong reasons. You know, I wanted a baby because I wanted a baby to heal me. I wanted to feel like I was doing what was expected of me in life. I love my son, both of them. I have two. But I was not prepared to be a mom. And I wasn't prepared to be a wife. And I was unfaithful to my husband for the entirety of our marriage. Had a long-term affair in the course of my marriage. Alcohol raged in my marriage. It raged in my life. I was a full-blown alcoholic, drinking 2 bottles of wine after work each day. I had a full-blown career. I was a wedding director and event sales manager at a prestigious resort here on the Central Coast for 15 years. And through all of that, I maintained my alcoholism, but I was a big partier, and alcohol flew through my life. I suffered a back injury when I was in my 30s that put me on oxycodone. So I, of course, my doctor, you know, prescribed me to take by mouth 6 to 10 tablets of 35 milligram oxycodones per day. But, you know, my alcoholic brain wanted to cut them up and snip them. So that's what I did. And led me to a place where I ended up having total psychotic break. And in January of 2017, I landed in the hospital in the ICU on a medically induced coma for 3 days. Woke up, had no idea where I was, what had happened. I was intubated, I couldn't speak. Fearful for my children, I didn't know where they were, what had happened, and my mom looked at me and said, "You had a psychotic break." And I don't remember anything. I'm told that I was irrational, screaming, gibberish, and out of my mind, and the only way that they could subdue me was to put me on a medically induced coma. I got a DUI in 2009, but that wasn't enough for me to learn, obviously. And I learned real quick that I could sign my own court cards. So AA didn't have an influence in my life at that time either. What I did find through my disease of addiction and alcoholism is that I was a very unhappy, unfulfilled woman. I felt like a failure as a mother. I felt like I had lost everything. I felt like a failure as a wife. I went through delusions. I had delusions. I believed I was married to the rock star of a band for about a year and a half in 2018 and 2019. I full on believed it and lived by it. And my family, my poor family, they didn't know what to do with me. Bless their hearts. They tried to get me into a program down at in San Bernardino at the Gibson House. I went down there for 30 days, but I was released after 5 days because this gal thought she was going to kick my ass, and I had to look at her and say, "You're not going to get near me," and then we were both dismissed. So I was in San Bernardino without transportation. My family was not coming to my rescue, and I ended up walking from the Gibson House to the train station, which was about probably 10 miles. And my husband at the time got me a ticket back to the Central Coast. And I continued living in my delusions for a while. I eventually left my husband in July of 2020 and went to a DV shelter and spent 7 or 8 months there. But my alcoholism led me to be dismissed from that program, and I ended up homeless. I was living on the streets of San Luis Obispo in the camps. I know what it's like out there. I lived it. And sleeping in a tent behind Mr. Pickles, right by the freeway. Experimented with drugs out there. I got IOD'd. Didn't know what it was. I died on a fentanyl overdose. Took 2 shots of Narcan to revive me. Got bit by a brown recluse spider, survived that. And all of the hell that goes along with what takes place out there. Spent some time at Prado. The community, the homeless community, needs a lot of help. And my family, I was ready to just throw myself off a bridge. I was ready to end my life. And I was on the bridge at Santa Rosa, and I sat on it and was ready to jump off. And something inside of me said, "No, don't do it. Go to the hospital." So I walked to the hospital, and I was committed to Vista Del Mar in Ventura for 3 days. And while I was there, I became combative and ended up on a 5250. So I spent 12 days there. When I came back, I took the train. They put me on a train and sent me back. I walked from the train station in San Luis out to Los Osos. I wanted to see my children. And when I got out there, they closed the door on me. My husband did. And I ended up walking back towards San Luis Obispo. Got picked up by a sheriff who took me to psychiatric health facility. Spent 3 days there, and my family rallied one more time for me and got me into Casa Solana here in Grover Beach. I completed a 90-day program there and graduated from that. And finally, a switch went off where I was ready to say goodbye to my old life. I found comfort in the healing process that takes place at recovery. I found an inspiration to everything that I wanted in my life, to be a representative for my children, to provide them with a place to come to reprieve when they feel lost. I wanted to become that person for them. My oldest son suffers from the same diseases that I do. And my work now, as I move forward in these programs and on these steps, is to work as thorough as I possibly can to be the inspiration to him that he deserves. And to remain an example to my youngest son that you can go through difficult things in life. You can be thrown a banana. You don't have to slip on the peel. And what I've learned in these in these rooms is that there's a fellowship and a family that exists here. We see each other through thick and thin. We are there for one another. We all have our own little quirks and whatnot. We're all sick, so what do you expect? But there's forgiveness and there's peace in knowing that you can connect with another addict, another alcoholic that can provide you with a sense of hope for your future. And that's my message. The promises do come true in this program. I've seen them. I've lived them. I now work for the county in a position that allows me to give back to the community that I am so honored to be a part of. And I just got a new car. It's a Mercedes. Heck yeah. And I'm working on the other graceful thing that has occurred is that my husband and I are amicable. We have come to accept that our marriage was toxic, but we work together for the betterment of our children, and we want them to see us friendly towards one another and giving back to each other, what we couldn't give to each other in 18, 20-year relationship. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I will have an opportunity with my oldest son to reconcile, and that the harder I work at what I'm doing in my program, the more I connect with you folks, the more I dive into my relationship with my higher power, I'm empowered to become that mother that he deserves. And I just look around the room, and I'm just so grateful to each and every one of you for being here tonight and for being a part of my recovery. Thank you so much. Yeah.